right, recording.
All right. Now, how could you not like this song? I'm sorry. This is a great song. This is a great song, I think, whether you like... I mean, look, my brother-in-law
Radiohead makes me want to cut myself.
My brother-in-law hates Radiohead. He despises them. He likes this song.
I don't.
All right. Hey, you know, everyone has different tastes. I'm not a Beatles fan. Then again, I like, you know, While My Guitar Gently Weeps is one of my favorite songs.
I hate the doo-woppy, right?
Yeah.
Love Me Do.
Okay.
Like, we had an option of playing Hard Day's Night tonight, mm-hmm. and that's... It's a little better, but not really.
Yeah.
Pretty shitty.
Yeah, not my... Most Beatles stuff is just... I mean, I have an appreciation for them and what they did, particularly later on.
Right.
But I still never got... The only one who I really got, the only one who really stroked me in that right way was George Harrison. I think he's the only one that was... More on the wavelength and stuff. I like, and remember, I'm not a big music guy anyway.
What was that big George Harrison single with the whole, like, oh, what was that song? In the 80s, solo, he had a song, and I remember the MTV music video because he was, like, in a mansion, and, like, the whole, it was almost like the, like, there was all kinds of animatronic stuff in the mansion, like.
Was it a Traveling Wilburys song? Was that
what it was? No, it was George Harrison. It was, Anyway, tell me why you like George Harrison.
I don't know. For whatever reason, his shtick connected with me more than John Lennon and McCartney did, and certainly more than Ringo did, because who likes Ringo besides my mother and Marge Simpson? Not many.
Oh, I got my mind set on you?
Yeah, isn't that Traveling Wilburys? Don't they do that?
That's George Harrison, but
I've got my mind set. It's a terrible song.
But okay, I mean, I remember this video. I just muted it.
But cause... it's gonna need money. Yeah, but... a whole lot of spending money. It's a terrible song because I overheard it because my parents used to listen to that shit all the time.
But I remember the mansion behind these, and it was like all animatronic, right? Like the knight,
yeah.
The suit of armor starts dancing and stuff.
I remember asking my father, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, see, the swords are going, and the clock is rocking, and the...
He's talking about, he's got his mind set on you, but he's going to need money and time, and I was like, what the hell is he talking about? And my dad was like, I don't know, getting married or something? I don't know.
It seemed like a bunch of words strung together.
Yeah, yeah. So, not one of my favorite songs. I mean, I can appreciate nonsensical lyrics... The dumb song to Do It Right. Do It Right, Child.
See, first how did the Beatles turn into that? That's my question.
All the Beatles turned into that because one of them died, one of them was killed, and the rest of them turned to shit.
You're right.
You know, guess what? Almost everybody. And realistically, everybody turns to shit when they get older. There's a good and a bad thing about dying young. If you die young, you get to be John Lennon and you get to be celebrated. And you never produce total shit that everyone hates. There are very few and realistically... probably no artist of any type who doesn't just produce shit at some point in their life. Like, even, you know, I think about acting, because that's something that I can comprehend a lot more than music. It's just, it's more my wheelhouse. But, you know, think about all the older actors, and almost all of them tend to be either when they were younger they were shit, or when they were older than they were shit. Like, somebody who was... shitty when he's young and better when he's old. Probably Clint Eastwood. I mean, let's face it. Mm-hmm. His shit sucked when he was young. And he got better. Someone who's great when he was young and shitty when he was old. Good old De Niro, right? You can count on him for just, you know...
Well, yeah, when he starts doing... Meet the Parents, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, why? I mean, why would you take that role other than just for the paycheck? You know, we're going to pay you $8 million. We do this piece of shit.
And I don't. No, I get taking a paycheck role. There's nothing wrong with taking a paycheck role, or there shouldn't be. But if you're judging an entirety of work, then that's going to be included. So consider that. But I mean, like, even artists, right? I mean, Picasso, apparently, when he got old, because he was one of the only artists who was alive when people considered his art to be incredible. Mm-hmm. He would draw sketches on napkins, use that to pay for meals. And I bet most of them sucked. But you could say I have a Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody who was just awesome in every single thing.
I was going
to
say Jack Nicholson, but he did a couple.
No, he gets.
Yeah, he did a couple shitty ones, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm biased, but a lot of the Zeppelin guys, right? I mean, Rubber Plant with the Honey Drippers, okay.
Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page was okay. I mean, he really didn't do anything too shitty. John Paul Jones, I will say, didn't do anything shitty, but no one else is going to care about me, right? So,
and like, you know, I like George Harrison, but he made a shitty year or two. He made a shitty song or two. That's going to happen.
Well, like right here at the end of the video, right? YouTube suggesting other things. We got blah, 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 Lionel Richie, but you know, Robin Williams, right?
What the fuck
happened to Robin Williams?
I absolutely think that on their four albums, the Pixies never released a bad song, but on their B sides and on other stuff, there were bad songs in there. Mm-hmm. And on the stuff they did afterwards, there were bad songs in there. So it's not that they're incapable of producing a bad song, it's just that they had only four albums. Mm-hmm.
Right.
While they were a band, and they managed to keep all the stuff good for whatever reason, however that actually worked.
Not sure.
But, you know, it's no one's infallible, and to think that anyone is infallible is to not pay attention.
Right, right. Okay.
All right. Have you been watching... Okay, so... It's a terrible time for television right now. If you're interested in...
I'm watching Deadliest Catch. You're going to laugh. I am watching True Blood.
Laughter.
I am watching The Last Ship, and I'm watching Strain.
I don't know what The Last Ship is.
Last Ship is a... It is a pandemic 90% mortality virus type show. Set around a U.S. naval ship that was...
okay, so it's your standard Jeff likes dystopian horror that turns into end of the world type stuff.
Well, yeah, but the thing I don't like about it is every episode is conveniently wrapped up in 43 minutes, you know? Like, oh, they're running out of fresh water. Conveniently wrapped up in 43 minutes. Oh, the ship's broken again. It was broken last week.
I think that it's interesting because, like... Lost was almost the perfect show for you and for a lot of people for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Lost was a great show. I mean, yeah, people can complain about the ending as much as they want. And yeah, the ending had some problems with it, sure. But you forget how great of a show it was. It cut so many things. It had what Jeff likes, a sort of kind of dystopian relief, you know, you have to survive type thing. It had the community building. It had...
Community building I like better than dystopia, yeah, right? That's what I wanted to see in...
But it had mystery to it. It had, you know, questions, and it had sort of a mystical bent to it. But then it had...
It also had pretty smart writing, which tied into...
It had fantastic writing for the most part. Well, it had great characterization. It had really interesting stories that he get into in their flashback served to provide a method to tell a whole bunch of different types of stories while you were telling the other types of stories.
And the biggest problem I have with The Last Ship... My dad was watching it. My mom was watching it. You gotta watch this. It has a... I don't know any of the actors' names. Oh, it has Adam Baldwin in it.
Okay.
He plays the executive officer on the ship. The guy that plays the main officer, I don't know.
Adam Baldwin is not good for an XO.
Yeah, they kind of hold him. They hold him back, right?
Yeah.
He needs to be Master Chief or something like
that. He needs to be Jane. He needs to be Jane from Firefly. Yeah, he needs to be that sort of rogue quality. He has that in him.
Well, you kind of see these brooding looks of him wanting to go rogue, right? But you know, and they kind of hold him back. I don't know the actor's name. You don't watch Grey's Anatomy, but he was the guy that played Mark get killed off on there.
What is Mark? Is it McDreamy?
No, I believe they called him
McSteamy. That's Patrick Dempsey, right?
They called him McSteamy.
I have no idea who that is. I know Patrick Dempsey was.
He plays a pretty good captain, right? I mean, it's a big different role from what he did in Grey's, but he plays a pretty good captain. But, you know, I think it probably could have been. I don't know. I like the dystopian. It could have been. I like the dystopian. I like the whole. They're working on a vaccine to cure the virus, this, that, the other thing. The thing that bugs me the most is how every conflict conveniently wraps up in 43 minutes. In Lost, not everything wrapped up at the end of the episode, right. You know? And they almost wrote the last ship as if, well, if we get canceled next week, at least there won't be a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I mean, summer TV, for the most part, sucks. It's usually where is the last ship on? What channel?
It's probably one of the networks.
So it's usually for networks, it's usually where networks shove their shows that they couldn't fit in their fall schedule. They didn't think would do much. So
the last ship, and also, you know, they're working towards this vaccine to save the world. This isn't a show that can drag on for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
This needs to be a one or two season.
Oh, just let them. They'll find a way.
It needs to be a 1 or 2 season show, right? And
in order for it to have any weight to it, I suppose.
Any potency, right, yeah. Have you seen Strain on FX?
No.
So I watched the pilot on a recommendation that I got.
And you're still watching it, apparently, because you call it one of the shows that you're watching.
Well, the second episode's out. I have not watched it yet. So I've only watched the pilot. It's a show based around these people from the CDC, and there's this mysterious airplane thing, and it turns out that it's kind of a vampire, but it's not the sexy vampires from Nocturne or from True Blood or from Twilight, but it's more of a leech. It's more a leech than a vampire. So it's kind of scary and disgusting and very.
So not a sexy vampire. Okay,
no, non-sexy, like alien. It's more alien than vampire.
The non-Mormon vampire.
Yeah, it's kind of like a.
That's what Twilight was. Mormon vampires. Okay.
So I watched the first episode on a recommendation. I'm gonna tune into the second one to see how it goes. I'm not so much sold on it, but if it's a different take on. I don't know if it gets good. It's FX. I don't know. We'll see.
So, first of all, if you're looking for something to watch, I have a recommendation for you. If you want to.
Bring it.
But it's not on now. It's something you can watch because you mentioned how, first of all, I think this is a great show, period. But also, it builds and builds and it builds into something you did not expect it was going to build into. You mentioned how in the last one.
The Last Ship,
how, you know, the premise itself really can only sustain itself for 2 seasons. So, I don't know if you've probably heard of the sci-fi show Farscape.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So the premise was this guy got stuck in a far end of the world and wanted to get home. That was essentially the premise. Gradually, it became pretty obvious that he couldn't go home for a bunch of different reasons. Most of them because if he were to go home, there would be problems both in him adapting to back to home and in home adapting to what he knew. So the thing changed. That didn't stop them from going into places you would not expect them to. The show is one of my favorite pure space opera shows that I've ever watch because it gets really into these characters. It's really interesting. It's fun, but pretty dramatic. There's lots of different ways it goes. It's really creative. It's kind of a new kind of. It's more like the old Star Trek in a certain sense.
Okay.
it's really fun. I highly recommend it. The first couple episodes, it takes kind of a while for it to really get going. Really, the first season takes a while to jumpstart. But it really starts to hit its stride kind of near the end of the first season. And then it just takes off. When it hits the episode, I think it's called Nerve. But you'll know it because a new villain... There's a villain that's that goes through the first season, but then a new one is introduced near the end of the first season. It's like, oh, okay. And it just takes off like a rocket from that point. And it does things that you do not expect a show to do. Like, fulfill its initial premise. It does that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't end how you think it will. And it just, so it keeps cool. going.
All right, I'll put it on the list. Oh, and I don't think we ever talked about this, but I recently watched the first two seasons of Orange is the New Black.
Uh-huh. And Oranges, comma, Orange. The New Black.
Okay. Is that what it is?
No, it's... Oh. Sorry. Oranges. The New Black.
Oh, okay. Get it. I get it.
It's another Comedy Bang Bang thing.
Right, okay.
He's had Lauren Lapp. Lauren Lapp plays one of the cops.
I liked Weeds, right? So I kind of like Jenji Cohen's writing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It started out cute, funny. There was a lot of lesbian sex. You'd see boobies. It was kind of nice. But by the end of the second season, I think it kind of turned into something a little more interesting, where it was not so much haha funny. It was more drama, dramedy. The characters were a little, characters are established. It's more of a drama thing, right? I think right now, even though they entered it in a comedy, at the Emmys this year.
That's what I think about Louis. I don't think that's a comedy anymore. I mean, I think it's a drama with funny moments.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that it's interesting how Orange is the New Black came around at the end of the second season. And, you kind of care about the characters. It's interesting. I think it's a decent show. I'm not sure it's something you'd love, but, listeners in general,
I'm willing to, there's not, I don't love everything. Yeah. But what I did want to support is there are two Comedy Central shows that are running right now. If you've never seen Nathan For You, it is hysterical. It is a likable version of Andy Kaufman is the best way I can put it.
Okay.
Because it's an Andy Kaufman type of performance that Nathan Fielder is doing. Because he sort of makes you somewhat uncomfortable watching it, but he's so also endearing at the same time that you don't get that same kind of this is ugly thing that you get from watching Andy Kaufman or something else that makes you cringe.
Is it more Michael Scott than Andy Kaufman?
It's even more... It's there are some that are almost really hard to watch at the same time, though you feel, oh, it's so good.
Well, it's hard to go back to the first season of The Office.
Yeah.
Right? Because I remember thinking that was hard to watch.
Yeah.
Right? And you get so used to Michael Scott being Michael Scott, but I still, it's a memory I don't want to forget because it was such a interesting pivot in my TV experience, right? When I was watching The Office.
No, I still think the first season, they went in a different direction than they did in the other seasons. You can see it. I mean, his hair was, was different. It didn't have the fullness to it. So they played with making him a less likable character. The interesting thing about Nathan Fielder is that he presents himself as more of a schlubby, not so much schlubby, but just kind of he's desperate for friendship the whole time. And that the concept is
what's that one called again?
It's called Nathan For You.
Okay.
And the concept is he goes to businesses with ideas of how they can increase their business. So one of the first things he did was a yogurt place was trying to look for a new way to bring in customers. And so he recommended they make a poo-flavored yogurt to bring in customers. And instead of just saying, oh, it's poo-flavored and just labeling it poo and putting chocolate, he actually goes to the process of going to a scent designer and a taste designer to make something that tastes like poop. And he makes a poop yogurt for them to
do. What was his justification for this actually being a good idea, though? Or...
His justification was that he has a degree from a business school. That's basically his justification.
And this is kind of a reality show, just going into a normal business? Or is the manager of the business scripted?
No, it's a reality show. Okay. Obviously it's a reality show where the...
Hidden camera type show? Or?
No, it's put on as a... The people don't know it's a Comedy Central show. It's put on as he's coming into, it's like a Hell's Kitchen type show.
Right, right.
But instead of it being some guy who's going in there, it's some like nebbishy guy who's going in there.
Is it always ridiculous concepts like that?
Yes, always. Discussed, yes, like the latest one they just had. Actually, it's on tonight on Tuesday. But the very latest one was a pet store that wanted to find a way to get more people to come into the show. So he decided to create an advertisement in a pet cemetery by making a gravestone have the advertisement on it. And that sounds funny enough, but then in order to make it somewhat real, first he came up with the idea that he had to bury something, so his pet was a fly that he caught and died in a day. And then when he buried it, he got, instead of just a regular tombstone, he got a 18-ton gigantic tombstone that he brought in that had the whole advertisement on it. It was very funny, very funny.
All right, I just subscribed to Nathan for you.
All right, the other one I suggest is Drunk History.
Oh, I subscribed to that one already.
All right.
I watched the pilot. I haven't watched the second one yet.
It's on the second season. You know that?
The pilot. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the first episode of the second season.
So Drunk History, for those who don't know, and most of you probably know anyway, but is based off a series of YouTube shorts where some people tell a story and then other people portray that story. And sort of the concept is the people who portray the story are puppets that are controlled by the drunk person. So they're saying the drunk person's words
in the same cadence.
Yeah, in the same cadence.
And
whatever the ridiculous things that they say.
And their gestures match the intonation
of
the person. So if it sounds a little bit sarcastic, then the actor plays it a lot sarcastic.
Right.
The whole puppet thing, it's so good. It's the best part. You see a lot of famous actors play. I'm trying to think.
A whole bunch. Like Don Cheadle was in one.
I know Gary Cruz was in the first episode, right? Because it was about Birmingham and whatnot.
Not every famous actor's in it, but a lot of famous actors are in it. Michael Cera was in the very first YouTube one. Bob Odenkirk's in one. Weird Al Yankovic was in one. Hey, that was the first one this season, right? That was...
Weird Al, yeah.
Yeah, he played Hitler.
All right.
And so... Hitler, going, hey, guys, it's okay. We don't need to do this. So that's the kind of funny thing about it, is the weird disconnect between,
Yeah, because when you're drunk, everyone turns a little bit into a Valley Girl, right?
Right, yeah.
And the Hitler's playing with his, Valley Girl type demeanor, right? And that's what makes it so funny.
All right. The last thing, I guess, is that I noticed a very interesting thing. So 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, because it was, I was sick on that Saturday, we couldn't do it Saturday. I forget what the deal was. I wasn't feeling right on whatever day we planned to do it, and we didn't do it Sunday. And so I questioned you about doing it on Monday. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Maybe.
But you woke up from a nap and felt better, right?
Well, let me get to
it. Okay, I'm sorry.
So, no, well, I originally sent you a message on Monday saying, hey, let's do it today. And then later on, I told you, well, let's try tomorrow. The reason why is because I got a message that the D&D group I was in wanted to do it, wanted to do their D&D on Monday. Well, the one person did, and everyone's like, okay. And I was like, wait a minute. No, you guys, you said, particularly you, the person who was sending the message, said Wednesday. I don't want to do it Wednesday. I want to do it today. I want to do it Wednesday. You said Wednesday. And he was like, well, why not just do it Monday? And I said, why do I have to have a reason? Just do it Wednesday. You said Wednesday. I plan Wednesday. And it got into this whole thing, and it turned, and it just was like, all right, fine. I'll do it Monday. He was like, why are you complaining? Because I made plans. That's why. Why do I have to have a reason? Just because you're bored doesn't mean we should change it when you've already said Wednesday and I made plans for Wednesday. So I was really annoyed that I had to change the plans. And I was considering just saying, fuck it. But you were like, okay, we don't have to do it Monday. So it made it a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like having to change it. But that whole time, I was sending him...
Were you going to be Dungeon Master?
No, no, no. This was...
Oh, it's too bad. If you were Dungeon Magister, you could have been like, oh, triple D40.
Well, no, if it was Dungeon Master, I would have said no. But I mean, and they couldn't have done it without me. They could have done it without me, so, you know, my complaints were essentially meaningless. But what I did do is pretty much the rest of the day, I was just sending mean stuff. I was just, every time something would come up, I would just be like, let me see if I can pull up some of these messages I sent.
You're sending pictures to Good Sea and Lemon Party?
No, no, no. It wasn't like that. It was, all right, let's see here. Okay. So this is the group MMS that was being sent. Load earlier messages. There are a lot of messages on this on this chain.
Lightning bolt.
So, first of all, I was like, let's see here. He asked me why I didn't want to say. Well, maybe I made plans because John said Wednesday, and not changed my plans because John's impatient. Then it got to the whole thing. I was like, fine, whatever. And then he said. He asked me why I was being obstinate about it. I said, if you text me during work hours when I'm working on a difficult problem, there's a good chance I may be difficult as well. That was my nice way of saying, don't touch me. And then, you know, when they finally changed, I said, finally changed my plan. And then I'd sent a Colbert thing saying, you're on notice to all of you. And then, like, later on, I said, so I wanted to know. So I said, what time are we doing this, you fuck ups? That was one of them. And then, I said, like, one of the monsters that they were planning on, Nick was our DM, and he was planning on doing this monster. Dick butt.
That's like the new Airbnb logo right there.
And, let's see. They were talking about, there was a huge accident that day, and I said, it doesn't matter if John's not responsible for this, he's still getting the blame. And then there were people like talking about where are we playing tonight, and that bugged the hell out of me because like 2 hours earlier it was clearly said we're playing at Nick's place, and then people were like, well, where are we playing? Like four times. I'm like, this. I said, do you all hate reading? Nick said it was at his house. This is why shit that gets clearly elucidated as being on Wednesday gets placed on Monday.
You get kicked out of the group, Craig.
I was just and then there are things like Nick showed a preview of an image that he made, and I just sent a preview of all the characters, including John, from my D&D dead. I just sent a picture of them. Here's a preview. All of you are dead. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that I realized as I was driving over that whole day, that whole thing, just, it made me really mean. It made me just really want to just strike out. And I was like a coiled snake. I was like, just, oh God, you want to fuck with me? I'll fucking fuck with you.
I have those days.
And the thing is, though, the front of my brain was saying, why are you doing this? It's, you know, people are different. It's not that big of a deal. It's, you don't need to be mean to people about it. But the emotional part of my brain, right, the part of my brain that's still left over from when we were reptiles and amphibians or whatever, will just say, no, fight, this is bad. Fuck that guy. And the prefrontal mm-hmm. cortex, which is relatively new in humans and other species, the prefrontal cortex is like, well, you know, that part of the brain says to fuck that guy, so, I mean, go ahead.
Who am I to argue?
So it was really weird understanding what was going on, but still being really hard to fight that impulse. Mm-hmm. So I was just sort of, and I was kind of really almost sort of admiring that property as it was, as the night was coming, you know, to a fruition. I was like, wow, I really get that I was being a real dick, but I didn't mind. And you can see how that comes about because of that sort of stuff.
I think it's time to wrap this up.
I think so too.
All right, great. Because I got to pee.
Yes,
and
I do too.
It's 11:30 and work tomorrow. So everyone, talk to you later.
Later, bods.